You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
What a great show tonight, folks. We're talking about a lot of issues. We are talking with a lot of great men, or at least three great men. I guess that's a lot for one broadcast. Kevin McDonald at the top of the second hour, followed by Brad Griffin, and now Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, who is a Puerto Rican-born Canadian historical sociologist and was until, according to his Wikipedia article, until 2019, the professor at the University of New Brunswick. This is a gentleman and a scholar who I have an immense amount of respect for. Dr. Duchesne, it is great to talk to you again. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, James, and I'm happy to be here in your show.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. People say again, this is actually your debut appearance on TPC. I am ashamed and embarrassed to admit. However, back a few years ago, you and I and Dr. McDonald, the aforementioned Dr. McDonald, spoke on a short-lived live stream called TOQ Live. This was something that the late, great Bill Regnery commissioned, Bill Regnery of the Regnery Publishing family, a scion of that dynasty.
Regnery Press.
Well, he was great. Bill was one of a kind, and he commissioned that project, and it lasted.
Conservative with money.
It lasted until the ADL shut it down, but before that happened, Dr. Duchesne was on with Kevin and I, and that was a wonderful conversation, so we are excited to continue it tonight. Now, you have voiced criticisms of political correctness, multiculturalism, and immigration. You have described it as a relentless occupation of the West by hordes of Muslims and Africans, and you state that only out of the coming chaos and violence will strong men rise to resurrect the West. That is strong tea indeed from a tenured university professor, as you were when you made these comments. This is something that I respect and admire you for, Dr. Duchesne, so much. Like our friend Kevin, you were there in the academic ecosystem, and you never backed down. What was that whole experience like there at the University of New Brunswick?
Yes, I mean, the words that you just quoted came from an article that I wrote while I was still a tenured professor. I think it was 2017, sometime around then, that I wrote those words. And I was writing continuous articles at my blog. And yes, I mean, I used to keep quiet within my university in the sense that I didn't argue within the university, but outside it, I was writing and doing all kinds of interviews and things like that. And I wrote a book also about Canada that is titled Canada in Decay, Immigration, Diversity, and the Ethnocide of Euro-Canadians, which became a bestseller here in Canada. And that best-selling status lasted for about 3 years. It was published in 2017, so it created a lot of controversy, and eventually an academic mob of about 100 professors came after me, and I was forced to take early retirement in 2019. I mean, it was just impossible for me to exist. But yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to back down. It's just my mind kind of goes where I think the truth is and what needs to be said, and that's why I felt I was hired for. I mean, that's our duty as academics, is to say what we think and look at the evidence. And I felt that immigration and the whole diversity doctrine was a lie, and that it needed to be exposed. And eventually it led to this academic mobbing that I experienced in 2019.
Yes, so let's go back a little bit before that, because, again, anyone who has to star in their local production of The Crucible is someone who we really respect. You like that one, Keith?
I like it.
So in 2015, you made statements to the Toronto Star newspaper supporting the creation of what was a fad at the time, short-lived as it was, white student unions on Toronto campuses, and criticizing, quote, what he called a double standard in the media and academia against white and European pride. Now, fast forward to 2019, your last year as a professor, the university, this is interesting to me, especially with what's going on in the news right now. The University of New Brunswick announced that it would further review complaints that related to Duchesne's public comments and views on race after it was reported that he had written blog posts alleging that immigration was a part of conspiracy to advance white genocide, so-called, their words, not mine. But a group of over 100 of your colleagues at the University of New Brunswick signed an open letter of complaint stating that your comments and teachings had no merit and qualified as hate speech that should not be protected by university policies of academic freedom. Now, you see here at Harvard University right now, Dr. Duchesne, that they are putting forth these statements that all ideas should be put forth and they should be combated, they should be accepted or whatever, but there should be rigorous debate about these things, but not at all, not even for a moment, if it defies the
political correctness.
Well, and that, you know, they're all in favor, as I often say, they love diversity, but they hate, and they will not stand for even for a moment, not even a second, for the diversity of opinion and of thought. So your time at the University of New Brunswick came to an end at 2019, but you never backed down. You held the line all the way through. That is admirable.
Yes, I mean, I started really questioning the whole politically correct climate in universities across Canada. I think it was around 2012 that I did it in a more vocal way. That is, I started realizing around then that immigration was the crucial issue of our times. I published my book, The Uniqueness of Western Civilization, in 2011, and that book was already very politically incorrect. It was an attempt to show that Western civilization had accomplished far more than the other civilizations combined, and to argue against a world multicultural approach to history that I felt had taken over academia, which aimed to simply either equate the West with other civilizations, to argue that it was just one among others, or actually to denigrate it, to say that the West rose on the backs of blacks and through the genocide of Amerindians and so on. So I challenged that whole view in my book, Uniqueness. But at that time when I wrote that book, I wasn't yet realizing that race was a factor that you could not ignore. And the reason for that, of course, is that the establishment, in a very conscious way, understood that immigration entailed the creation of a whole new society in which a predominant white population would have to give in, would have to pull back and allow continuous numbers of other people, other races and cultures to be part of their societies. And the West was articulating the theory of multiculturalism to argue that multiculturalism was consistent with liberalism, with freedom and democracy, that in fact, to insist that you could not have immigration, or to insist that immigration should only be people from a Christian European background, that was a form of supremacy and that it was inconsistent with liberalism, that was the aim of the theory of multiculturalism. And I started realizing that this had to be challenged. And so after I wrote that book in 2011, The Uniqueness of Western Civilization, I began to concentrate on the question of race, And things after that started getting more, you know, dangerous for me in the academic world. But yeah, I persisted, and I created a blog in 2014, the Council of European Canadians, to argue for Canadian identity, to argue that you could not just bring people and emphasize multiculturalism and at the same time pretend that Canada would remain the Canada that had been in existence for many, many decades. Yeah, eventually, I mean, the whole thing accumulated, and I was forced to take early retirement in 2019.
Hold on right there, my friend. Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, an example the rest of us should follow. We'll be back with us in the next segment and for the rest of the hour, in fact, as we continue, and we're going to talk about his new book. Stay tuned.
God tells us in Hebrews 10:25 that we should gather together to worship him. This isn't a request. It is a command. Going to church isn't an option. It is your Christian duty. With the hellish apostasy of mainstream churches, attending church these days can be difficult. That is why our King James only traditional services in the ancient Church of St. Mary Magdalene are live, online, and I invite you to gather with our congregation to study God's Holy Word. Join us every Sunday at thetemplarchurch.com and especially on the first Sunday of the month for Holy Communion. This do in remembrance of me is also a command that all Christians must obey. I am Reverend Jim Dowson, ordained Puritan minister, nationalist and a veteran pro-life campaigner. Tune in to my weekly sermons at thetemplarchurch.com. Based in Ireland, this old-time religion is the faith that built America. God bless you.
Cybercrime is exploding. Take Sarah from Sweet Delights, whose world crumbled after having to close with not being able to bounce back. Small businesses are prime targets, but the right strategies can keep yours safe. Jay Hill, CEO of Network Providers, has co-authored The Cyber Playbook, simplifies cybersecurity for business owners with strategies to avoid costly breaches and fines, build a strong cyber attack response, secure your business with key protections. Cyber threats aren't slowing down, but you can stay ahead. Protect your business. Ensure its security for tomorrow. Get the Cyber Playbook today at networkprovidersinc.com/cyber-playbook or call 385-446-5500 now.
Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, another hero of ours here, one of the few who had something to risk and still did the right thing. It's very easy when you have nothing to lose to do what you want to do. But when you have a tenure, when you have an incredible position, when you have respect and... But you don't back down, and that does mean more. It does mean more. And these are the people that become heroes who inspire everyone else. And so Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, like Kevin MacDonald, has paid a price. I just want to ask you one more question about this, and then we're going to pivot to the book, Dr. Duchesne. But, you know, did you ever – I guess to ask the question is to answer it. I was going to ask, did you ever – think twice about your positions, but I would rather ask this question. What made you dig your heels in and never relent, never apologize?
Well, I mean, I realized around 2012, 13 that I was starting to take big risks. And I used to get up in the middle of the night. I had a hard time sleeping because I knew that things were going to get very risky, that the moment you start talking about race and white identity in Canada, for one, it's very dangerous politically and I was in academia. I was right in the middle of where all these crazy ideas originate from. And there was one day, I was probably 2013, I was walking very early on campus, and it just hit me, and it made me realize I'm right in the middle of the citadel of everything that I now reject and oppose. And I knew I'm just going to go on with what I'm thinking, and I'm going to express it. My wife says maybe I'm autistic, stuff like that. Yeah. So she kind of was wondering why would I keep persisting and insisting. But I tried to control myself, but it lasted for a few days, and it would even get worse because I couldn't understand the whole argument that people were making. I couldn't understand why conservatives, because I wrote to many of them in Canada. And I wrote in a polite way, as an academic. I said, look, why is it that we're following this policy of continuous immigration at a very high level, and we are denigrating the history of past Canadians? And I'm an immigrant myself, but I don't understand how you can tolerate this, that they're putting down your ancestors. Those are your people. And to me, it's a question of pride and honor. And I just couldn't give in to that because it means you.
There it is.
Yeah, they're winning over you, and they're lying to you. And it was hard for me to give in to that.
That's your answer, ladies and gentlemen. And if everyone can follow that example, we would have never been pushed to the precipice that we are now. Western civilization would not be in this predicament now. Your first book, which was published in 2011, is The Uniqueness of Western Civilization, which, takes, it puts at odds the ideas that all cultures are equally significant. I mean, and for obvious reasons, which, of course, but this thinking devalues Western civilization. This actually received a somewhat balanced reception. You had a lot of people that were praising this book, your first book in 2011. I would like to ask you to maybe in a minute talk about this book, and then we're going to go to your latest title, which is hot off the press, brand new, just released at Antelope Hill Publishing, Greatness and Ruin. We'll talk about that. But first, talk about your first book from 2011.
Yes, The Uniqueness of Western Civilization, it took me a long time to write because, like most academics, I was educated in a leftist environment. I adopted leftist ideas. And my dissertation, which I completed in 1995, and I did publish some articles here and there in typical leftist journals and so on, but by the late 1990s, I knew there was something going on in my mind. I wasn't identifying with these ideas anymore, but I didn't know where to go. I mean, the internet was just growing at that time, and I have never been a person that was really into the internet that much. So I knew that the whole paradigm that dominated our universities was wrong, but I didn't know about an alternative because I had never really been educated in that alternative way of thinking. So I had to really re-educate myself as I began to question these ideas, and I started rereading a lot. And so my book took me a total of 10 years to put together and to write. It's a long book, over 400 pages, and it's a complicated book. I'm not going to explain it right now quickly, but by and large, basically it's an attempt to show that there was something special about Western civilization, and that the academic world is making a big mistake when it just criticizes it for the slave trade and various other crimes that they associate with the West. And I wanted to argue that the West was not just that it generated the modern industrial scientific world, but it was really the most creative civilization in all the endeavors of human life in art, painting, architecture, philosophy, and so on. That really, in a sense, was one of the aims of that book, and also to try and understand, well, why this was the case. What were the background conditions that made the West so creative? So, yeah, so that's what that book was about.
Dr. Duquesne, what was your final analysis as to what made European civilization and culture so unique? What did it have anything to do with the Roman antecedents or the Grecian antecedents or something indigenous to the people themselves?
Well, that's a question that I pursue again in my last book, Greatness and Ruin, that I guess we're going to talk about soon. But in uniqueness...
Yes, we're about to get into that. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, in uniqueness, I went back to the Indo-Europeans and to their, what I call their aristocratic culture. And by that, I meant that it was a culture in which the men at the top that were had a status of being free, they were unwilling to subordinate themselves to any ruler. So it was not a despotic political order, but it was an aristocratic order in the sense that the ruler was equal among or the aristocrats. It was one among the other aristocrats, and they understood that there was a sense of freedom and equality and an ability to speak out. So I get, you know, it's a long chapter on the Indo-Europeans, the fact that they were the first to domesticate horses and to ride them, to learn to ride them and to develop chariots and wheel vehicles. And they had a dairy diet of meat and dairy products that made them stronger, slightly taller than the other people. And they really stormed through the world. And this is how the Indo-European languages expanded. I mean, all the languages you see in Europe, the English language, Spanish, the French, German, and so have Indo-European roots. They're Indo-European languages. So that was something I was trying to understand, that dynamism. And another thing was that I wanted to demonstrate that a multicultural world history, which had taken over academia and right now dominates the academic world, was wrong. The only competitor is China to the West, and China really didn't achieve more than the West. For a time, it was ahead in certain areas, particularly agriculture, because of rice farming, which was inherently a very productive type of farming. But by and large, it really, in the intellectual sphere, it was always, in my view, behind the West. So these and other subjects were the things that I was talking about in uniqueness.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we are going to transition exclusively to Dr. Duchesne's newest book, what is described as his magnum opus, available now and exclusively at antelopehillpublishing.com. Our good friends there at Antelope Hill, Greatness and Ruin is the title, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within European Civilization. That is what we will spend the last half hour of our time together tonight talking about with the author himself. We move forward past his past and career in the university system as a scholar, as a doctor, and as a professor. His earlier works, the trials that he has gone through. That having been established, we will talk about his book, the newest, Greatness and Ruin, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within European Civilization, available now. Spend the next 5 minutes before we come back to you live tonight going to antelopehillpublishing.com. It's top center. Get this book. We'll be right back to talk to the author himself all about it. Stay tuned.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. It is a multi-billion dollar sale to Saudi Arabia. Here's correspondent Ron Taylor.
Given initial approval to sell $3.5 billion worth of air-to-air missiles for Saudi Arabia's fighter jets, the latest proposed arms deal for the area ahead of President Trump's planned trip to the region later this month. The sale, announced early Saturday, likely will be one of several heralded by the president on his visit to the kingdom. Ron Taylor reporting.
In northern Gaza, aid workers there say a number of warehouses have been looted as desperation for food and medicine is spiking after some 2 months of the Israeli blockade. Organizations in Gaza say looting has continued for numerous evenings by unidentified, armed, and sometimes unarmed individuals. Also, at townhall.com, a major education program is surviving proposed budget cuts.
President Donald Trump's administration has apparently backed away from a proposal to eliminate funding for Head Start. That's the preschool program that educates more than 500,000 children from low-income and homeless families. On a call with reporters, an administration official said there would be no changes to it. Head Start supporters had been worried after a leaked Trump administration proposal suggested defunding it. Project 2025, the conservative blueprint drawn up by the Heritage Foundation, also called for cutting Head Start. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
Trump administration asking the Supreme Court for access to Social Security information on millions of Americans. Republicans and the president have argued that legal actions that are aimed at blocking White House policies are in reality political attacks against Mr. Trump. More on these stories, townhall.com.
You heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Hey y'all! Do you enjoy great tasting coffee but are tired of supporting companies that hate you? If so, let me tell you about Above Time Coffee. Above Time Coffee is a privately owned and operated small business. They hand roast coffee and ship it to customers throughout the United States and abroad. Above Time Coffee was launched because they saw a need for more pro-white businesses serving our people. The time has come to take our own side. And did I mention their coffee tastes great? It's the best coffee I've ever tasted. When James brought home a sample from a conference, I was hooked and threw out all the other brands. I think you will too after you make an order at AboveTimeCoffee.com. Living a healthy and active lifestyle is important to us, and I appreciate the effort Above Time Coffee invests in keeping its products organic. And there are so many flavors to choose from. Check it out for yourself by visiting AboveTimeCoffee.com. It's the only coffee we drink at the Edwards home. Delicious coffee. A company that serves the interests of our people. Check out their selection today at AboveTimeCoffee.com.
It is common for politicians, major media outlets, and nonprofits to hype white on black murders aggressively, or even claim that blacks are living in fear of white people.
Lynch for simply being black. Hard to believe, but that's what was done. And some people still want to do that.
This is why National Conservative launched the Interracial Homicide Tracking Project. We have now documented well over 2,000 confirmed interracial homicides since January 2023 and created the most comprehensive overview of these killings anyone has ever made. We plug the gaping holes in data left by other homicide trackers and government crime stats. Rather than engaging in hyperbole and vitriolic rhetoric like everyone else, We are simply creating a massive sample size of empirical evidence so people can form rational and informed opinions about a sensitive and politically charged issue. Visit natcon.life, natcon.life.
All right, folks, having established the background, the credentials of Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, our featured guest this evening's third hour, let's go now to not a book he wrote in 2021, but what is being described as his magnum opus, Greatness and Ruin, available right now at antelopehillpublishing.com, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within Western Civilization. This is a part of the back text of this book. Of all the noteworthy advances and accomplishments in every area of human endeavor, the overwhelming majority have come from one part of the world, Europe, and its New World offshoots, collectively referred to as the West. This troublesome fact may be downplayed or deconstructed by the politically correct establishment, but it cannot be credibly denied. The question then is, why? That question is to you, the author, Dr. Ricardo Duchesne. Why?
Why the West accomplished so much? Well, that's a very difficult question. And what I'm going to do, because I don't want to really get into it right away, but instead I want to give potential buyers of the book a sense that even if they don't want to dwell into this question because it may be complicated, that there is a lot in the book, as you just said, even in that editorial passage that you read at in the back cover, one of the things that the book tries to establish is that the West did accomplish a lot more than other civilizations. And I don't go over every accomplishment. I concentrate on certain accomplishments, but I do generally mention overall the many accomplishments of the West. But the ones that I dedicate sections to are things like classical music, architecture, even furniture design, the fact that Europeans are responsible for creating all the disciplines that we know and are taught in our universities. They invented universities and they invented all the disciplines like geography, archaeology, biology, botany, astronomy, physics, you name it. So I examine some of those disciplines and try to demonstrate that they did indeed originated and developed these disciplines. I concentrate on chemistry, cartography, geography, and a few others. And then also painting, architecture, and classical music, and even children's literature. So readers, potential readers, can read this section just to get a sense of what it is that European peoples, white people accomplish, and they can read them and understand them without having to grasp or read the entirety of the book. You can sometimes jump into some sections and it will make sense to read them on their own. So one of the reasons why I concentrate on things that may seem innocuous or not really that important, like furniture design. I argue that the types of chairs, tables, all kinds of furnitures, they were originated and really developed in many different forms and varieties by Europeans, were unique to them and cannot be found in other civilizations, which remain more stable and continuous. So one of the things I want to show is that the West is not just, this is a common thing. The people say, oh, it's just about modern industry and science and power and military strength and so on. So I don't know, it goes way beyond that. It's also in literature. Even in children's literature, it all originated from the Western world. And furniture and architecture, you see a greater variety there, and in painting as well. So this is something I want to emphasize, because nowadays people say, well, look, China may eventually overtake the West or the United States. It has certainly become a more powerful industrial nation than Europe at this point. So they say, well, you know, okay, so the West achieved a lot in industry and science, but now it's been left behind. So one of the things I want to show is that, well, it will never be left behind in terms of its legacy in art, painting, music. You can find that Chinese people can play classical music, but they haven't yet composed or produced any great composers. The same thing with painting. They may imitate or replicate some great painters from the West, but that's not the same thing. So these are permanent legacies that are there and that people should know something about, because one of the things that is happening and will happen with diversion and immigration, and if whites become marginalized and a small minority, this stuff is going to be erased. Or they're going to lie about it. They're going to claim that everybody else was participating in it. They're already doing that. I mean, in Uniqueness, this is in my book, Uniqueness, one of the things I did was to show that world multicultural history is an attempt to claim that many multiple civilizations were co-participants in whatever it is that we associate or used to be associated with Western creativity. And I challenge that argument. And in this book also, I do argue that with increasing diversity, if the people who created these things don't protect what it is that their ancestors did, nobody is going to. They're going to walk all over it. And since the very idea of diversity is based on the premise that the past or retaining white majorities is something unacceptable and it's a form of supremacy, well, people already are reacting against what it is that that past created about their accomplishments and are saying, well, you know, they didn't do that, or everybody was a participant, or it's just a lie, or it's not important. So one of the things that potential buyers may want to think about when they look at this book is that it is an attempt to tell Western people that they better take their past seriously, they better take their accomplishments of their ancestors seriously, because it will be erased, it will be walked all over and denied. And already in academia, I got into trouble, I mean, among other reasons, for saying this. You're not supposed to say in Canada, in Canadian universities, you're not supposed to talk about Western civilization barely. Western civilization used to be a norm, used to be taught in all colleges, in the majority of colleges across the United States and the Western world, you would have as a requirement the teaching of Western civilization. That was eliminated by 2011. Very few colleges were doing this. So I would emphasize this about this book, Greatness and Ruin. So what is the next question then?
Well, let me ask you this. What real innovations have the Chinese come up with that are not derivative of Western ideas, technologically or otherwise?
Well, they invented paper. They invented sophisticated water clocks, not mechanical, but water clocks. They had a simple compass for navigation, the compass. They had a quasi-printing press, but it was not a mechanical printing press. It is very difficult, impossible to create a printing press with all the different, the
characters.
Characters of the Chinese language. And they had other agricultural technologies. In my view, the Chinese were the most advanced in the realm of agriculture, in the realm of rice farming. This is why they were able to support a very large population. Rice farming, by its very nature, is very productive. A small piece of land would generate a very high output if you apply a lot of labor to it, and you can keep applying a lot of labor to it and generate increases in output.
Very quickly, Dr. Duchesne, we got to take one last break this hour. The book, Greatness and Ruin, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within European Civilization, by Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, available now and exclusively and just now at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Go there and get
it. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's top publisher of the books the other guys are too afraid to touch, providing you with the information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests are contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored, philosophy, or exciting novels from talented new authors, you'll find plenty to love. The Antelope Hill catalog includes books you won't find anywhere else, such as Paleface, The Philosophy of the Melting Pot, which criticizes white self-hatred, The 60-Year Caucasian War, and other books about Russian history and politics, The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism, books on the Spanish Civil War, speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, original translations of previously unavailable 20th century works, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that Antelope Hill Publishing will have something for everyone, even children. These books will enhance your personal library, and they also make great gifts, so be sure to check out the complete catalog at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Order online today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
One more segment, one more fleeting segment with Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, author of the latest title, Greatness and Ruin, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within West European Civilization. Do yourself a favor and go to AntelopeHillPublishing.com and get the book right now. You can do it in real time even while we are continuing this conversation live with Dr. Duchesne. I'm going to read a little bit from the back page. If you've not already been sold on the book, and surely by now you have, but if not, we'll read this to give you a little more incentive. In Greatness and Ruin, maverick scholar Ricardo Duchesne sets out to answer this question, dispelling mainstream academia's counterarguments along the way. Demonstrating an extraordinary breadth of scholarship addressing subjects from music to mathematics, philosophy to furniture design, Duchesne establishes that while other peoples have had their share of breakthrough advances at occasions in their history, the West was the only civilization to produce continuous advancements building upon each other throughout its entire history. He constructs a convincing case that the particular Western cultural trait of individualism led to the development of a unique sense of selfhood, producing a culture wherein Excellence and ethics are valued more than kinship ties, allowing for a blossoming of creativity and experimentation unparalleled in any other society. The progress has made the West wealthy, industrious, and culturally dominant on a global scale, but also autonomized, culturally incoherent, nihilistic, hostile towards its own history, and willing to disrupt its ethnic and racial demographics for short-term economic gain. In short, it has led to our greatness and our ruin, hence the title. Duchesne argues that the West can retreat from this precipice, tempering the self-destructive liberal tendency of individualism through historical self-consciousness and a worldview incorporating community and cohesion while allowing individual creativity to flourish again towards more pro-social ends. Dr. Duchesne, how do we thread that needle and take the best of everything that has made us a unique people and tie it together in a way that is, as this mentions, coherent once more?
And also, how can we prevent theft of intellectual property if everything they're doing, except from antiquity, is derivative of what we've done? It would seem that intellectual property theft is the key of, you know, their success.
All right, take it away, Dr. Duchesne.
Yes, okay, so to go back first to the question why it is that the West accomplished far more, there have been many answers, and the answer that I'm offering is one that has not been offered by anyone before. And it may sound, as I stated here in a very blunt way, it may sound crazy, but this is what it comes down to. It is my view that white people were the only ones to become conscious of their consciousness and to realize that in order to generate knowledge, and to generate values by which they should live, and also conceptions of what constitutes beauty and so on, they have to rely upon their own thinking. And this requires that they discover the mind, that they discover that consciousness relies within human beings. Now, this may seem obvious to us now, because after hundreds and hundreds of years, it has spread to our everyday common life. But it was not obvious in the past, and you can see it today among primitive tribes if you watch them in documentaries and so on. But in the past, people were overwhelmed by the world of mysterious forces, the instincts within you. We human beings have all kinds of powerful drives within us. It's very hard to distinguish within yourself what it is that belongs to your consciousness, to your thinking, and what flows from your body and your passions and your instincts. And also from the world of customs and traditions and kinship networks. Many of the norms by which people live were based on kinship networks, extended families, and what were the rules and ways to act and behave and to marry and to raise children and so on. And one of the things that Weiss did was to escape from that and to begin to say that we have this capacity to reason and we should rely upon it. And that requires an act of introspection. That is, you look into yourself and become aware of your thinking processes. And so what I argue is that the origins of mathematics, of philosophies, ultimately come to that, awareness of one's thinking capacities and the ability to generate your thoughts by being conscious of that ability to generate thoughts and relying upon your own thinking rather than upon external mandates, traditions, and customs. Now, this in itself, jumping through all kinds of arguments here, but we don't have much time, but this in itself, this way of being that whites develop is has become, it was the source of their greatness, the source of their creativity, but it has become the source of their weakness. Because whites began to think that they can come up with universal values by which all human beings can live on the basis of reason. And this is where liberalism is rooted. This is where all this universal morality of quality, of human rights, are rooted in this. Again, it's a complicated argument. There are many steps to make it clear. And I don't want to overburden people in such a short time. But this is something that the book addresses. And it wants to make whites aware that in some ways it is tragic, because the very source of their greatness of European peoples is now the source of their weakness. And they're going to have to become aware of this and find a way out of it. And one of the ways is simply to recognize that you cannot escape completely your ethnic and traditional backgrounds. You have to be rooted somewhere. Your mind cannot be allowed to somehow rise above it all and be the generator of all the bodies of your society by itself along in abstraction.
Just want to say this very quickly, folks. If you have not been sold yet on the need to go to antelopehillpublishing.com and get the book from our guest for the full third hour tonight, Dr. Ricardo Duchesne, Greatness and Ruin is the title. Antelope Hill writes in its own right that they are proud to present Ricardo Duchesne's magnum opus, Greatness and Ruin, as an essential read for anyone fascinated by the historical triumphs of European civilization, the reasons for its degeneration, and what it will take to rise again. But I always like to let our enemies speak for us, because they can sell our merit in some cases even more than our friends. I see here a little piece that reads, in 2025, Duchesne released a new book, Greatness and Ruin, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within European Civilization. It was published by Antelope Hill Publishing, which specializes in translations of historical writings by Nazis, fascists, ultra-nationalists, white nationalists, and neo-fascists. To be a fascist and a neo-fascist at once is really incredible. And
talent.
So, it's just a talent. And so, listen, if the left is getting that worked up about this book that they've already added it to Dr. Duchesne's official bio.
It's all already on the banned and censored list.
Well, you probably can't get it in Canada, Dr. Duchesne.
Yeah.
AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That is new to your Wikipedia page as of tonight. I mean, that could be in real time since we started the show. I don't know. Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
final word to you.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, there are people that actually follow me every step, and anything I do, they go to Wikipedia and they add it, and the goal is to in reality, the Wikipedia doesn't look terrible. There have been some people that have, because the book uniqueness, I wasn't into race then, and so it did get a lot of reviews in the mainstream academic world, and the reviews were pretty good, and in fact, there were extended reviews. There was one that was, well, this was in the Dissident Right, but it was 60 pages long, but these are guys that are, they follow me and whatever thing I do. And
they should call it Wikipedia rather than Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, there's good reason for that, because I tell you, there is good reason why they do, and they respond to everything you do or react hysterically to everything you do, because you're a man who has set an example for the rest of us to follow. And when somebody does that, if they can't make them a pariah, it encourages others to take similarly bold stands. And thank you, Dr. Duchesne, for your work, your career, your example. antelopehillpublishing.com. The book, one more time, Greatness in Ruin, Self-Reflection and Universalism Within Western Civilization. Check it out. Know why we were great, who made us great, how we can return to greatness and run from ruin.
Overcome our enemies.
Once more, for Keith, for Kevin McDonald, Brad Griffin, Dr. Ricardo DeShane, I'm James Edwards. Good night. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.